the last 4 weeks, we'll conclude with 5 weeks of really giving to you all the values and the heart of what I believe God has called us to be as the church. One thing that I want to do for the next, or at least the initial months that we are here, is I want to lay before you who we are. Before we continue to build, I want to lay before you our heart and show you that these are the areas that we're going to focus on. These are the things that we're going to commit to as a team, as a unit, as a community. And so we've talked about being one with God. That's really important for us, that you understand your relationship with God is not conditional, but it is unconditional because of God's love to you. But then we talked about being one in love. And that means that with the same love God has shown us, we need to show that to others. We then went into that, and when we show that love to others, that will then cause us to be one church, where we can be the example and the model of what the body of Christ should be in the earth. Last week, my wife did a phenomenal job. Phenomenal job. As she talked about one purpose and helped us to understand our reason for living. And we're going to conclude today. Once we have all of those things together, now we can start with one mission. Go with me to John chapter 17. It's our text for the entire month. John 17 and 21. We're going to talk about one mission, being one in focus. And it's important that we have unity of focus and clarity of focus, because if you don't define what the mission is, everyone will make a decision on what they think the mission should be, and then we'll be all out of alignment. I've been in full-time ministry. This year goes 18 years. I've been pastoring as a lead pastor for 5 this May, and have been working in various levels and various roles within ministry all throughout prior to even being on full-time ministry. So I would dare to say I have been operating in ministry for the last 24 years consistently. Now, what does that mean? I've seen some stuff. And when you've seen a couple things, you begin to form what will your philosophy be? What will your mode of operation be? And quite honestly, when you're a novice or when you're new, especially if anybody's an entrepreneur, what you try to do is show everybody that you can do everything. And what happens is, as the phrase says, you can be a jack of all trades, but a master of none. But the more you realize there is a unique reason why you exist, then you know there's a unique lane for you to operate in. And when you operate in that unique lane, you have comfort in being consistent in the one or two things that God has gifted you to do well. And so in John chapter 17, verses 21 through 23, we're going to hone in on what will the mission of the outlet be? It says, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. Verse 23, I am in them, and you are in me. And here's the mission. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. So, Father, I thank you for this set of messages that you've given us to start the year. And as we conclude today, help us to find our place and our goal and our objective in Scripture. So, Holy Spirit, I invite you into this room. You know all the needs. You all know all the needs of those who are watching. And I ask you to just have your way. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I guess since I'm telling a little history about myself, I might as well tell something that most people probably would not know about Vince. I was born in West Philadelphia. No, I was born in Detroit. And I spent the first 15 years living either in the city of Detroit or suburbs. And We found a school that we absolutely loved, and the reason why we loved it is because this school, athletically, was a pipeline to the University of Michigan that I thought I was going to go to play baseball when it came time to go to college. On top of the athletics, academically, it was one of the top as well. But, you know, when you're in high school and you're an athlete, you really don't care. But this school was phenomenal, and it was a prep school. But I grew up in a home leaving 8th grade going to 9th grade in my freshman year. I grew up in a home that said, if you are in this house in the summertime, you're either going to find an activity or you're going to get a job. I chose to find an activity. And that activity was one that has stuck with me the entire course of my life because I learned so much about teamwork and the uniqueness of a team. And that is Vince Thomas, a 14-year-old from the city of Detroit, joined the rowing team, crew. And it's something, anybody familiar with rowing or crew or no? Oh boy, I'm gonna do a quick lesson. Can we put the picture up? All right, that's rowing, that's crew, and that was me. Not really, but y'all get the point. That's what it looked like when we were out there rowing. And on a rowing team, who do you all think is one of the most important people on the entire boat? Is it the biggest and the strongest person, or is it the smallest, lightest person? Smallest and lightest. And the smallest and lightest person is the one guiding our boat to its final destination. But here's one thing about that front seat. That front seat has his back to where he's going. And so he has to judge based off what he sees behind him if we're still going in the right trajectory to get to where we're going. The second most important seat, would you all say, is it in the middle or is it in the very back of the boat? The very back of the boat. That's where the strongest, the fastest rower rows, and it gives you the speed to get to where you're going. Now, I know a lot of you are probably thinking that I was in the back seat. And I would like to assure you that I was not. I was somewhere in the middle because I wasn't light enough and I wasn't big enough. I was just right. But one thing about being in the back of the boat rowing and one thing about guiding in the front is that every person on the boat had to be going at the same pace at the same time. And what we learned early on is that if one of us decided that we wanted to do our own thing, it was going to make the boat rocky. But if two of us decided that we both were going to do our own thing, we would capsize. And so what rowing teaches you, it doesn't matter how you're made up, it doesn't matter what it is that you're good at, if the team is not unified with a common purpose, we're not going anywhere. So our mission is clear in John 17 and 23. It says, the world will know that you sent me and that you love them, speaking to God, as much as you love me. But being in ministry for a couple of years now, what I realize that being unified in one mission is not that easy. It's not that simple. You would think that all you had to do is say, look in the Word of God, and all of the people of God would say, that's right, I accept it, let's go forward. Nope. It is quite difficult to align everybody on one mission. But it is the most important thing that we can do if we want to move forward. But before we align everybody else, which I'll talk about that in February, guess who needs to get in alignment first? You. And so the front seat of the boat represents the image that we hold of ourselves. The back seat of the boat represents the condition of our heart, which is our strength, which is our force to move us forward. If we have a poor image of ourselves, the image of who we believe we are is what drives us in the direction we go in our life. And so one of the biggest frustrations that I have in ministry is I can see gifting, but the person doesn't believe in who God has called them to be. It's frustrating because you see what they could be, but they refuse to be because they choose to believe the lie in their mind over the truth of God's promise. And so in Numbers chapter 13, go with me to Numbers 13, we see the people of Israel having the same situation. And so before we do anything else, you all, I want us to take a journey of healing the image we have of ourselves, because your poor self-image is related to your inability to believe God at His word. Because you tell God what you can and cannot receive. And that also is a form of pride. Humility says, whatever God has said about me, regardless as to what I think, I'll receive that. But anytime we insert our thought above God's word, we are acting like Lucifer when he was in heaven and says, I will exalt myself above the Most High. And this is what stops churches. Because people are out of position. God may have given this church a vision, but it's based on the people at the pace the vision comes to pass. And if we're out of alignment because of a lie of what we believe about ourselves, then we're slowing down the lives that all of us collectively were called to reach. Everyone in here has a place on the team. Everyone. And I know some people believe that their place should be over here, and some people believe their place should be over there. I believe my place should be leading worship, but that's neither here nor there. All of us have a unique role, whatever y'all. All of us have a unique role and a place to play in the body of Christ. But the longer we're out of position, the longer we'll hold the vision back. The longer you're out of position in your own life, you'll hold what God wants to do in your life back. Could it be that you're stagnant because you don't believe God at His word? Not because He's not going to do it for you, but you don't believe that He wants to do it for you. It's easy to believe that God can. It's tougher to believe that He wants to do it for me because of a negative self-image. Let's see how that impacts someone or a people based off of what they say over what God says. Numbers 13, 1 and 3, I want to show you something. It says, the Lord now said to Moses, send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land that I am going to have you fight for. Is that what the word says? Not at all. He says that, send out the men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I am what to the Israelites? Give. I'm giving this to you. I'm giving this opportunity to you. And it says, send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. So the vision was to receive this land, this promised land that God had for them. And Moses, the leader, obeyed. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He sent 12 men, all tribal leaders of Israel, from the camp in the wilderness of Paran. Drop down to verse 27. Let me show you what happens when the whole team doesn't believe what God has called the group to do. Verse 27. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But, meaning, no matter what else you said, forget all that, but focus on my real statement here. The people living there are powerful. So they use reason and exalted it above God's purpose and promise. He says, and their towns are large and fortified. Here's a question. Did they go and do a safety inspection check on the towns? They said, we even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Drop down to verse 30. But Caleb, one of the ones who said, we can do it. We can go forward. He tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. And Caleb, the one who stood up and said, let's go at once to take the land because we can certainly conquer it. But the boat's not moving. It's rocky. Because they said, the other men who explored the land with them disagreed. Were they disagreeing with Moses or were they disagreeing with God? Don't you think God knew the challenge? Don't you think God knew who was in the land before he sent them that land to give to them? They said, we can't go up against them. They are stronger. They said, let me tell you something. Let me give y'all, you get to know me, I'm getting to know you. Let me help you get to know me. If you come up to me with they've been saying, I'm going to ask you who been saying. I'm just going to help you out real quick. If you want, listen. I like having conversation. I like talking. You know, who is they? And all the theys are stopping you from doing what he told you to do in the first place. Let's keep going and seeing what they caused them to do. So they, anytime you let theys go unchecked, it kills the progress to your dream. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. So instead of evangelizing what God said, they evangelized what they said. Let me tell you something about they. They ain't never did nothing no way. Because I learned something about life. They who are doing something are too busy to talk about they doing something. So if they is talking, they is not doing. So who is they? And they're now impacting the promise. And you've got to get down to the theys in your life. The theys in the back of your mind. When I first started pastoring this church, I thought about all the stuff that they used to say about me. All of they who said I never amount to anything. Come on now. Come on. I don't know if y'all had some of them days too. All of the days that said that I wouldn't work, and all of the days that said I wouldn't last, and all of the days that said I wouldn't make it, and then all of the, and I found something out about days. They be lying. Are you allowing they to stop you from doing what he told you to do? You've got to get a resolve in your life that if he, God, told you to do something and it requires you running through a brick wall, they better not be on that wall. Because you got to make up your mind that greater is he. Come on, y'all. Greater is he. Greater is he. If you're ever going to do something great, you got to let they talk. But what you can't let they do is influence what you need to be doing. And in your life, all of that negative self-talk, I want you to label that they. Because that negative self-talk came from them. But where are they now? They're not here. They not here. So you are allowing someone who's not willing to pay the price you're paying tell you what you can and cannot do. And that is the mindset that this church shall adopt. What did God tell us to do? Then I don't care what they said. We doing it anyway. Let's keep going. So they spread the bad report among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. Did it devour the giants that they saw over there? They are lying again. It says, all the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there. But here's the key. I'm not saying there weren't giants there. But it says next to them, we felt like how I view myself. You might face a giant, but you better not call yourself a grasshopper. The bigger they are, the harder they're going to fall. With faith, nothing is impossible to them that believe. If you speak to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart, you shall have what you say. But if you're using your faith to make yourself a grasshopper when God didn't make you a grasshopper, so you got to find that when they start talking, do you start shrinking? And when you have a healed image of yourself, they can talk all day long, but you're going to keep being who God has called you to be. You're going to be even all the more resolute. I've learned something. When Satan starts acting up, I start getting happy. Let me give you a secret. He's known as the father of lies. So if you heard something that you can't do, know that you can do, because Satan doesn't want you to do it. Negative self-talk is a lie. And you have been selling yourself short. Do you know that there may be giants in front of you, but you don't have to tear down the giant for you to be a giant yourself? You could have two equal-sized individuals. But if God puts you where he puts you, if God be for you, who or what can stand against you? We're called to do great things at the outlet. The question is, are we going to believe what God said, or are we going to believe what they are saying? When my wife and I first got our house, it was the first time I had a yard. I was so excited, because we got the house in the wintertime. But in the springtime, I was so confused, because what I thought was good grass was actually weeds. And so what I wanted to do was just go ahead and scout the whole yard and start over, and I did that. But guess what happens when the grass grew back? Same problem showed up. So I learned my first leadership lesson from agriculture in that moment. If you want to get rid of the weeds that are already going to be there, grow the good grass higher than the bad grass. When you grow the good grass higher than the bad grass, what happens in that yard is that the bad grass doesn't get any attention from the sun. And when it doesn't get any attention from the sun, what happens to the bad grass? and the good grass continues to grow. You don't have to pull anybody down to go where God is calling you to go. You be the example. You be the example. Dr. Charles Stanley said, obey God and leave the consequences to him. Because you have more in you than you realize. You have more gifting in you than you realize. You have more anointing in you than you realize in this moment. But you want to know what religion has done really well? Told people what they are not and what they could never be, even in their best efforts. And what it's created is a negative spiritual sense of who God has made you to be. But he's placed his anointing in you. Go with me to John chapter 14, verse 16. John 14, 16. We have a mission to demonstrate God's love so that the world will know. It's our mission. It's the only mission that we have. In John 14 and 16, this is Jesus speaking. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. Someone say, another advocate. The word another means of the same sort. This advocate says, who will never leave you. Who is this advocate? Verse 17, he is the Holy Spirit, who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But watch this. But you know him because he lives in you now, and later for them will be in you. Holy Spirit now not only lives with us, but Holy Spirit now lives in us. What type of power is that? Go back with me to Luke chapter 4. Go to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. So we have an advocate. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the paraclete, our comforter, our standby. Everything that we need is with us and will never leave us. He is the Holy Spirit. So what does the Holy Spirit do? Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Right now in you is the Spirit of the Lord. And Jesus said, is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. So right now in you is the anointing or the supernatural ability to bring good news to those who are poor or without. Also, it says that the Holy Spirit is sent to help proclaim the captives to be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that it is the time of the Lord's favor. It has come. That is just a few of the benefits that live on the inside of you right now. Are you living to your full created potential? Go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Talking about what's in you. It says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And the more you realize what God has given through the gift of Holy Spirit on the inside of you, it will naturally cause you to be witnesses, telling people about Jesus everywhere. Anybody ever find a good sale before? Like, too good to be true? Like, I cannot believe this is on sale. By show of hands, if you're watching online, have you all ever had a too good to be true sale? I got a question. Did y'all need to take an 8-week class on how to tell some people about the sale that you found? Did you all take an 8-week class? No. Naturally, you couldn't help yourself. You were taking pictures, sending screenshots, sending links. You were calling everybody you knew. You need to get down here now. They got buy one, get one free. I can't believe it. It was $35 last week. Now it's $9.99. You better get you about four of them. Because it made a difference for you. What Jesus is saying to his disciples before he ascends, this power that is in you is so good, is so real, is so amazing that you won't help but to display God's goodness, not just from you preaching all the time, but people will look at your life and say, there's something different about you. You are in the same group coming in, but for whatever reason, you're starting to get promotion after promotion after promotion after promotion. It seems like every investment that you make works. It seems like everything you set your hand to, does extremely well. How can this be? And you get an opportunity to say, let me tell you about the God in my life. It's time out for just sermons alone. We need to start living this thing. But he's got to show his goodness in your life. But you will stop him from showing his goodness because of a negative view you have of yourself. How many people go to the grave with callings that they never fully embrace? The last thing I want you all to know is you are gifted to go. This is not some big country club. Bless me. Thank you, Lordy. Hallelujah. Had a good time at church. Wasn't the word good? We got so tanked up. Hallelujah. Wasn't pastor preaching well? No. You find out all of this so wherever God has deployed you, you can be an agent working for him. See, it's not about you getting promoted so you can have all the money that you could fathom. When you get promoted, you have more influence and people listen to you. You're the same person you were when you first came in. You're the same person with the same habits, same all this. But now you got a little title because God's been so good and people want to listen to what you have to say. I have the unique privilege of sitting with some of the most powerful people in the country. Unique privilege. Unique. I mean, these people are powerful. What I'm amazed time and time again at in these rooms filled with power are all quote unquote Christian people. Well, why isn't this world evangelized then? Because they're sitting on their gift. They are secret agents. Ain't nothing secret about what God wants to do in your life. I'm amazed. These people control billions of dollars. You would be amazed with the banking, et cetera, et cetera. All these people. And they are born again, quiet, scared Christians. And if they tweet one time, millions of people will follow their tweet. I can only imagine if they just had enough boldness to say, God is good, how many people would give their life to Christ based off of their three words? But before we could talk to them, I got to talk to us. There are folks in this church who've been serving 40 years and no one's stepping up. There's a children's ministry back there about to bust at the seams, and they're maxed on support. There's a youth ministry busting at the seam on the other side of the building, and they're tapped for support. There are people showing up, driving hour and a half away to be here on time before you, and no one else is stepping up. This is not going to be a church where 14 people carry the weight of 500. It's not happening. 14 people giving for 500. That's not happening. This is going to be a healthy church, a healthy culture, healthy leadership. Sometimes people don't want to step up because they automatically have trauma from their church experience that they had 25 churches ago. I ain't that pastor. Give me a chance. And immediately they think about what happened back then. That's back there. This is where we are now. And listen. I'm going to say this. I need all colors to help with this. Oh, Lord, I done walked on the floor for the first time. All right, y'all, we in here now. It's week 5. I'm not going anywhere, so I might as well make myself at home. Let me tell you something. The most segregated hour in America is this one right here. I believe one of our missions is to disprove that and work together. But I need red, yellow, black, and white to walk in love. I need us to understand that we have some differences. We have some changes in preferences. We have difference of philosophical views and political values. I get that. But what we can unite on is that God has been good to us. So I'm calling this church to step up. Next week, I'm going to lay out for you what the plan is. And we're going to step up. This will be the example the world looks at. This will be a place where people get healthy. This is a place where people get healed. This is a place where people find love. And I'm going to help you. If that is not what you want to do, then you have options. But if you make the decision that I'm with it, give me 12 months. Give me 12 months. Give me 12 months. If your life is not better and you really plug in, and I ain't talking about this halfway Christianity. Y'all find time to do what y'all want to do. I ain't talking about this halfway stuff. Listen, and I'm talking to the millennials. We're getting older. We're officially called geriatric millennials. I want to talk to us real quick. Listen. Our parents and grandparents had structure in their life, and that's what saved our life. Okay? If we don't uphold godly traditions in our generation, because our parents, they are tired. They're supporting us and the grandkids. They're tired. They've been carrying the church for 60 years. We got to step up. And we have got to make our parents and grandparents' latter years the best years of their life. You hear me? I did not walk into this church and build this church from the ground up. I didn't. There were people here long before me who did all that work. And we have a God-given obligation to honor that legacy and do right, but also make the word relatable for this generation. And we will do that. So listen, if you at home and you can and you want to, you know, also tune in next week or be here next week. If you're here, if you can, commit to next Sunday, 10:30. We're laying out a course of where we're going. And I'm just asking y'all, let's get with it. Let's get with it. Let's get with it. Let's get with it. Joe V, if you could join me on the